When a child is born, one of the first things we do is comment about their physical appearance. We say, oh, she looks just like her dad, or she has her mom's nose, or she's so long, she's going to be tall like her sister. And as parents, it's amazing to look at your child and see things in them from you or your spouse and see that reflected back at you most of the time. And as adults, as Patty said, we have those moments when we think, oh yes, that was just like my mother or my father, and there's a moment of delight or a small moment of terror. What might it have been like for God when he created Adam and Eve? I wonder what part of God's image God was most excited about having as part of humans. And what does it exactly mean for us to be in the image of God? There isn't really a consensus about what it means to be made in God's image. Some say that it means that we have the ability to think and reason unlike other creatures, or that we have the ability to ourselves create or have an understanding of morality. For others, it's more of a focus on our role as representatives of God on earth. And none of those things are incorrect, maybe more incomplete. I was curious then, thinking about what do we as Mennonites kind of teach and believe on this perspective of being made in God's image? Paul, I see you brought all your little bugs with you, with the plants. So I opened up my confession of faith in a Mennonite perspective and found that Article 6 talks about the creation and calling of human beings. And it speaks to this idea of being made in God's image. And here are just a few highlights from that article. It says, we believe that God has created human beings in the divine image, having been given a special dignity among all the works of creation. Human beings have been made for relationship with God and to live in peace with each other and to take care of the rest of creation. We believe that human beings were created good in the image of God. We have been blessed with the abilities to respond faithfully to God, to live in harmony with other human beings, and to engage in meaningful work and rest. And that Adam and Eve were equally and wonderfully made in the divine image. We believe that the image of God in all its fullness has been revealed and restored in Jesus Christ, in whom we find our true humanity. The confession states that this is something that we use to guide our faith and life in the church. So how do these statements help us guide as we think about being made in the image of God? How do we live daily into being image bearers of our Creator? We understand that Adam and Eve were made in God's image, and with that image came free will, and they chose to enact that will, thus introducing sin into the mix. Some say that we are disfigured images of God. This mirror is intentionally dirty. I don't necessarily know how I feel about the idea of being disfigured images, but as I think about it, I think about the verse in 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. In my mind, I believe that we are created fully in the image of God, but maybe that we struggle to see and reflect clearly the perfect image of God. There's some murkiness, some not so nice things. Maybe when we look in that mirror, we see our humanness, our scars, our shortcomings, and our pain. We may see the good things, ants on there. The time we clothed the naked, fed the poor, cared for the widow or the orphan. Hand sanitizer streaks. And there we start to see God, because God is there. Make no mistake, God is there. But we have to be intentional about noticing God and bringing God into clearer view. In the article in the Confession of Faith, in the notes, it talks about, or it says that we are to live in peace with each other. Saying it again, we're to live in harmony with other humans. Anyone else find that to be a difficult task sometimes? We talk about the polarization in the world and even in the church, and that feels particularly fierce these days. And yet we're still called to live in peace and harmony with one another. Not only do we need to look for God in ourselves, but we're also called to look for God in others. It's God in each of us that is going to allow us to live in the peace and harmony that we're called to. I think one of our biggest struggles is that when we look at others, when we say we're looking for God, what we actually are looking for is our reflection of God in them. The image of God that we have, how we understand God by what we know of ourselves. So we think, that must be the God we're looking for, right? Sarah, I wonder if you could come up and help me out for just a second. We have a tendency when we look for others in God, nope, you're good, right there, to, instead of looking beside, we step in front of and put ourselves between that person and God and reflect our image back to that person and expect that person, the God in us, that's who we're looking for in that person. Instead of standing beside the person and looking together in the mirror and saying, Sarah, when you offer your prayers, I hear God in you. When you care for the families and the people within the congregation, I see God in you. And so we help, instead of putting ourselves in front of, how do we stand beside and look together in the mirror and help each other to see the image of God? You may go sit down. As we do this, I mean, I think about the verse in Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens the countenance or face of another. So when we stand beside each other, looking into the mirror, helping one another to see God in each other, we're sharpening and bringing that image of God into clearer view for ourselves and the other. And once we see something, it's harder to unsee it. So I believe the more we see God in ourselves, the more the God part in us guides our daily lives. Think about Sarah's message a while back when we were retraining our doing something a few more times. The more we see God in ourselves, the more we're apt to see it again. As we continue to think more and try and gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be made in the image of God, I want to consider something that may not be comfortable for all of us. Can we consider what it might mean for us to be okay with someone else connecting with God in a different way than our own? In verse 27, it reads, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We have a tendency to use masculine terminology and language when referring to God. And I get it. Scripture often uses he in the verses I just read. And Jesus calls God his Father. And as Patty said, we're not physically made in the image of God. God doesn't have a body. Though we have this preferred language when we're talking about God. So I just want to acknowledge that for some, the masculine language can be prohibitive for them being able to recognize and connect with the image of God within themselves, or for them to even relate as fully as possible. For you, it might be comforting and life-giving to use Father and He in that language, and that's good. For others, it might be uncomfortable or traumatic or just not preferred, and that's okay too. So as we relate with others, as we work together to help each other see God in ourselves, my encouragement would be that we allow each other the space and the ability to fully see the image of God within ourselves. That may mean that God is God and not He. It may sound like Mother God or She. The language doesn't change God, but it might bring God into a clearer view. And may everyone have the blessing of knowing God so that they might reflect the image of God in the world around them. Today, being Mother's Day, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk to the ladies in the congregation. Men, you're of course welcome to stay and listen in. One of the highlighted statements in the Confession of Faith is that women were created equally in God's image. In the commentary section of the Confession, it fleshes this out a bit more when it says that both man and woman are equal in relation to God, that woman's relation to God is not derived from man, and man's relation to God is not derived from woman. Unfortunately, the world and society around us have a way of making us feel less than at times. We hear things like, if our child does or doesn't do this, we're not a great mom. Or if we just have done this or that, your child would be better. Whether single or married, there's always something else we should or could do to be a better woman. If we say something too strongly, we're being pushy or too emotional. We're told our hair, our bodies, and our clothes need to be a certain way for us to be taken seriously. And we often receive lower wages in the workplace than men. So ladies, just as we are, without any qualifiers, ifs, ands, or buts, no matter what the world and others say, we have been made in the image of God, and God said, it is very good. I want to encourage each of you ladies to take the time to look into a mirror, to see yourselves, the unique and very good you. Don't be surprised when you start to notice God's face in that mirror reflecting back at you. After the service, with the help of the children, ladies, you will also be receiving a mirror. And I have a few extras, Patty, if you need to share. And on this mirror, on each mirror, there's a Bible verse or an inspirational word for you. And so my challenge is to keep this mirror with you, and whenever you need a reminder or just because, to take out the mirror and ask God to help you see God in you. And remember, it was very good. You are very good. A mirror is a great thing to have and a handy tool to help us try and see the image of God within us. A tool to help us recognize and identify and live into the image of God within each of us. We can also work at seeing and naming the image of God in others. Other ways that we continue to grow in our ability and truly reflect the image of God is to invite God to help us be better image bearers. Pray to God. Ask God to speak into our lives for us to hear and respond to God's voice. At a local pastor's meeting on Friday, a pastor shared a recent encounter he had with God. He was visiting his home country for several weeks and had and learned of a friend's wife who had recently been diagnosed with colon cancer. And shortly after his arrival in country, after many hours of travel, he was catching up on some sleep. And as he was sleeping, he heard God's voice telling him to pray for this woman for healing. And his response was, "Yeah, I'm not doing that." And he went back to sleep. He's like, "I've never done this. This is not something I do." He woke up and found that that feeling was still with him. So what he did, he decided to message his friend to get the number of this of his wife's sister, I believe, to get her number because she was in the area. He'd never met the sister, but he knew she was local. So he messaged his friend, asked for the number, arranged to meet with this sister. And on that Friday afternoon, he met with her, laid hands upon her, and prayed for healing for her sister. That following Tuesday, the wife of his friend went to the oncologist for a checkup, where it was discovered that she no longer had cancer in her body. A truly amazing experience of God's image at work in this pastor's life. I don't expect that we'll all receive the gift of healing, but I encourage each of us to be open to hearing God speak and to act upon what God is calling us to do. Along with spending time with God in prayer and communing with God in various ways, we can spend time in the Word of God so that we might see the living God come to life from the pages we read, and may we see and learn from God's truest reflection, Jesus Christ. I pray that we can open our hearts, minds, and souls to live as God created us, knowing that through Jesus Christ, we will one day see clearly and perfectly the perfect image of God within ourselves and others, giving all glory, praise, and honor to the Creator God who said, "It was very good." Amen.